that you could use if you want a writing group.
My goal in life is to get on Oprah. I never thought I'd say that. Get on Oprah and say, now, what you all want to do? You have to talk real fast on Oprah, have smart responses, and don't say more than she lets you. I'd have a hard time. Okay, Oprah, just be quiet. Let me say this. I'd say, let's have writing groups across the country meet together to listen to a, hello, do come in, to listen to a prompt from a literary text, poetry or prose. Listen to the rhythm, which is what we're going to do today. Listen to the sound. Listen to the sense or subject matter. And then go into your own memory and experience. You can't use footnotes. This is unfootnoted writing. How many of you are good at footnotes? No footnotes here. No one can argue with your own experience. On these pages, I'm invited, they can argue, but you are the only eyewitness of your experience. This is just warming up. You haven't missed anything. No one can argue with your own experience. Rarely are you asked for your own experience, aside from, how are you? I'm fine. But the story, your life stories, they go in very short snippets, don't they? I just said to Ron, I think he's Ron, as he went past with a stick and lots of flags. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. He's going to use it at Vespers tonight. We said, why the flags? And he said, all the dead killed by violence. And I said, will you add my husband, who was killed in violent means? And he said, yeah, we have a couple that were killed by a drunk driver. Why, there was a little 11-year-old girl. Do you see what happened? I'm not complaining, but do you see what happened? I said one story, and I heard a story back. That's common, normal, ordinary. What I'm inviting you to do when we write together is give a story and you are heard. Nobody can give a story back to you the way we run this writing group. If you read, everybody listening simply pays attention and gives you back quotes from your own text, which is evidence that they've been listening. There was a writing group I taught once, a weekend group, and in the morning a woman talked about searching for her adopted child. Because we have this rule that nobody in the group can say, oh, I've got a story like that, I'll tell it to you. Nobody can tell a story, it has to be written. And this is in order to make the writing generate more writing. In the afternoon group, then, a woman used the morning discussion to write about her searching for her mother and finding her and being refused. She was adopted, found her birth mother, and refused relationship. Nobody could tell a story back to hers when she read. In the evening session, a woman wrote about finding the mother and being welcomed. We had three versions. But had we stopped in the morning for all those stories, you know what would have happened? The two afternoon and evening women would not have written theirs. They would have told the story. So my whole goal is to invite you to write, to make the record, to make the record of your experience. And when we worked, writers can rarely work together. It's a solitary Lone Ranger activity, a committee of three, me, myself, and I. You're on your own with your page. But when we work like this, we can say, let's write, in which we will be writing, let's write together, and then let's listen to each one. They will read, we cannot give a story back, no matter what we hear. With one exception, that's me. If I hear that somebody's grandmother was born where my grandmother was born, then I get to say, my grandmother was born there too, which is totally forbidden. You cannot tell a story back to what you hear. I'm asking you to be umpire. Shall we begin? Yes. I'm Eunice. I come from Edmonton, Alberta. And I grew up in Seattle. And I got to Edmonton in 1971, not with a husband who was dodging the draft, but with an English husband who was taking a job at the University of Alberta. And we went temporarily permanent, and I've been there ever since. It's now 206, isn't it? It's closer, Edmonton's closer than Portland, but you wouldn't know it from the questions I get about Edmonton. I'll say no more. We're south of the Arctic Circle and north of Montana. Okay, I would like to read to you and then invite you to write. Any questions? Before we start, yes.
One question. You talked about writing groups. How do you go about finding a writing group in your own community?
I think I've heard of people actually putting up a sign. Do you want to write? We
create
can make
one.
A writing group.
Create a group.
And I'm very, you make one. And I'm very, I think that's the most beneficial, to make your own. And I will be happy to send you the guidelines for a writing group, which we've
worked out over years on how not to have it fail.
Great.
Question?
Do you have a card?
Do I have a card? You'd think I would. I don't have it holding. There's no email. Why would anybody carry a card? Yes, I'll put my hotmail up there if you like. I don't have a card because I'm in change.
Does anyone have an extra pen?
Yes, I think I've got one.
Thank you.
It's Uniscarf at Hotmail, and feel free to ship off a question or a request. I don't critique manuscripts. You know, if you are sitting with the best-selling American novel, I don't critique, but I'll answer any questions on the act of writing and the process of writing. I teach in the writing program at the University of Alberta and set up a Women's Writing Week Institute, during the weeks of June some years ago. And if women are interested in writing together, there's 14 sessions and about 200 women come. End of introduction. Ready? My first poem I'm reading to you, I call these advice poems, and I'm going to read several. And I'm inviting you to write down a quote that strikes you as lovely, interesting, or one that would take you into your memory. And I might stop and say, look, write this down. It's one that will help you get going. The title is Advice from Nana. And this is a very simple haiku, almost like a list poem. Nana gives advice. This is written by Judith Hill, and I'll put the name of the poem and the writer on the board. Judith Hill is from New Mexico and helped create a New Mexican Jewish women's writing anthology. Judith Hill. We are, of course, looking for a Holden writing anthology. Advice from Nana. And some of you will recognize the world out of which this advice comes. Now, we are not going to discuss this poem. I'm going to say, who gave you advice and what was it? And so you can write your own Nana, or father, or grandmother, or aunt, or whoever, and get the data down. What kind of advice were you given? Give me two now, what you might have been given back in your childhood. Advice. Did anybody get any? Yes.
Well, this was my stepfather, and I can still remember being in the living room and where the chair he was in and where he was sitting, and him who never laid a hand on me except once in the dark when he thought I was a burglar.
Louder, yes.
Saying to me, if I ever catch you with a cigarette in your hand, I'll break your cotton picking neck.
Oh. Is that advice or a threat? I guess it comes out
advice,
don't smoke, doesn't it? Anybody else? Let's do a couple so we get back to your memory. Here's one.
My Lutheran mother, God helps those who help themselves.
Did anyone else hear this? Next, here.
Father, your sister, keep sitting on it, say.
Keep sitting on it.
Do unto others as you would have
done unto you. Do unto others as you would have unto you. That is advice. It's
Waste not, want not.
Do not borrow.
Mine was my grandfather. He says, don't let fear make you a prisoner. You take proper precautions and get on with your life.
Okay. And then you would have a story as to why he came to that one. I bet you do. Why he came to that statement. Anyone else here?
As Shakespeare once said, not so often repeated, remember who you are and where you are and what you represent. That's what we got when we walked out the door every day.
Who you are and what you are and what you represented. How did you happen to get parents who... quoted Shakespeare.
I don't even know if that is Shakespeare.
I heard if everyone else is doing it. You know how you say, well, everybody else is doing it. If everybody else is doing it, that's the best reason why you're not going to. That was a hard one. I swore I'd never use it with my children, but I did.
I just remembered, don't do anything you wouldn't want your next door neighbor to see.
Okay. Did you all live by these rules? Well, there's two parts then to this assignment, which is what advice you got and what you made for yourself. You could do that part. The advice I got was da 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 da. The advice I gave myself, or I was told this and I discovered this. This is asking to go into your memory of what the values and the prescriptions were as you were growing up. Let's do this one from Judith Hill. Advice from Nana. Always wear your clothes like they have only been yours. And never pay retail unless it's divine. Eat only what you want on your plate and leave anything you like. Eat dessert and hors d'oeuvres and skip the entrees, just enjoy. Make men buy you presents, and if you don't like their taste, teach them what you do love.
Now, pretty soon I'm going to say, who is this woman speaking?
Yeah.
If you can't teach them what you love, leave them. And darling, don't pick your split ends. Look into the eyes of the person you are talking to, and they will believe you. If you want to stop someone from criticizing you, let your chin quiver just a bit, eyes fill up, yes, there, that's it, you're doing it just right. Don't stand in the corner at a party, walk over to the books and enjoy them, because at least that's fun. Then you should never be uncomfortable at a party, God forbid, you are so gorgeous. Remember, I love you. Remember to call me and tell me everything. Remember, this pearl necklace is yours, and the china. Don't sit with your legs apart. You're sure to get the wrong boyfriends that way. I surely did. Had to be told 100 times too. Did I tell you I love you? I love you. Look, you look, oh, sorry, Lord, you look like your mother at that age, and she was a wild one. I had my hands full with her. At least you got her brains. Thank God for that. She was a whiz. Any sense of context, it doesn't matter for our purposes here, but where the speaker comes from.
She's a grandmother.
She's talking to a young one. And is there tenderness and affection? It's like, the more advice I can give you, the more I'll keep you sitting here next to me. Oh, and by the way, did I tell you I loved you? Advice from Nana. I'd like to read, so it isn't that you have to write anything relative to Nana's advice. I'm inviting you to go into my father always said or my mother always said. Okay? You want to hear another one?
What did your father always say that your mother always... I couldn't hear the end of it.
You can go to the father or to the mother. You're looking in your own life history for what advice you got.
Thank
from
you.
Whom and about what. You could write for several hours. We're going to have 15 minutes. Can I give you some from this one, from a Spanish writer? My paternal grandmother's instructions before we left Cuba. A totally different environment. This was a New York grandmother. Never buy retail, unless it's divine. Go to the secondhand shops.
Say the title of your piece.
This is my paternal grandmother's instructions before we left Cuba. If we flew not to look at the clouds too long, they spoke too much anger. If we sailed, seawater could never show us the way, stars would. When upon free soil, bow to the four directions to pay the wind homage. In traffic, take off our red shirts or skirts and scream, Olé! Beware of used furniture, a worn sofa swallows not only money but luck. In times of plenty, serve an extra plate, always with rice. Never confuse want with lack. Leave the front door always open, a horseshoe nailed to the inside archway. Speak of how much water the sky gave the earth, how seeds seek light after a dark spell. In springtime, open the windows of our new house, invite the birds to feed. In the fall, always leave a glass of water under the bed. At night, when we close our eyes to sleep, we are to think of her as a gardenia flower. Think of her as an open hand waving goodbye atop her grave. Much more sober. What do you notice here that wasn't in the other one?
Poetry.
Poetry. What? What's poetic about this?
It was more about folklore almost.
Very folkloric. Mm-hmm. Keep a glass of water under the bed. She didn't say why. People connected more to the earth than the ways of the earth, bow to the four directions.
Rich imagery.
Sorry.
Rich imagery.
And it was not about acquisition of things. A little bit in the other one was how to make.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you copies of this. Okay.
Yeah,
it's a staff meeting now, not bell ring. How to live well. Pardon?
Wasn't as much humor in this one as
no.
There seemed to be. The
was there as much tenderness and love? Always think of me waving.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This was softer.
Very
softer tonal than the other was a little harsher. And tradition. Just such
lots of tradition. And the anguish. There is not a word written about I miss you, I long for you, I wish you were going, I wish I could come with you, it would break my heart. But where does that content come up?
At the end.
Well, just in terms of the gardenia waving at you.
Take a gardenia. Think of me as gardenia waving goodbye atop my grave. You will likely not see me again. Huge hands there. I'll put the title of this in the poet if you want to know it. That I didn't mean to do that. Poet if you want to know it. On the board, so he's going to have that for you record.
That struck me too as more, you know, with Hispanic or romance languages or whatever, like from Cuba. I mean, it's just a different culture. It's more from Cuba and
yes.
The type of people who live in Cuba, whereas the other one wasn't, I don't call it Hispanic or Latino or whatever you want to call it, the people who live in Cuba, but I think that you have a different cultural background coming
across. Totally different cultural coming across to me. So if you were to write your advice, would we get the culture from which you came? And I would hope I'd look for one that gives us at least a hint of the folklore or traditions or place or way of life or religious experience. Can we manage one more? I call these my advice poems. This is packing for the future.
Mm.
Can we do this one?
Mm-hmm.
I should have somebody with a gauge. How much can you listen to? This is, well, it's after dinner, relax. And then you've been right. This is Packing for the Future by Lorna Crozier, and I'll put her name on the board. She's professor of creative writing at University of Victoria. And in this one, advice is being given, how do you enter the future, by the narrator. Advice for the future. Listen to the images. Take the thickest socks. Wherever you're going, you'll have to walk.
Mm-hmm.
There may be water. There may be stones. There may be high places you cannot go without the hope the socks bring you, the way they hold you to the earth. At least one pair must be new, must be blue as a wish hand-knit by your mother in her sleep. Take a leather satchel, a velvet bag, and an old tin box with a salamander painted on the lid. This is to carry that small thing you cannot leave, perhaps the key you've kept though it doesn't fit any lock you know. Take the photograph that keeps you happy, a ball of string to lead you out where you can't walk back into the light you came from. In your bag, leave room for sadness, leave room for another language. Where you are going, there may be doors nailed shut, there may be painted windows, there may be signs that warn you to be gone. Take the dream you've been having since you were a child, the one with open fields and the wind sounding. Mistrust no one who offers you water from a well, a songbird's feather, something that's been mended twice. Always travel lighter than the heart.
Travel lighter than what?
The heart.
Thank you.
Now the well comes in there. Mistrust no one who offers you water from the well. You are all good biblical readers. What about the well? What image do we have?
Rebecca
at the well. Meetings took place at the well. What else can you tell me about the well? The stranger was greeted at the well.
These are the Samaritan woman.
Samaritan woman was at the well. And what she does with this is mistrust no one who offers you water from the well.
Mm-hmm.
Trust the place of the well and the water being given you. When she says there may be doors nailed shut, is she being literal?
No.
And if not literal, what is she being?
Realistic.
You can't go everywhere.
You can't go everywhere, or maybe a metaphor, that you can't go this place or this place. There may be doors closed to you, but she may need choices as opposed to little doors. Yeah?
It was sort of written, well, it was written metaphorically, but, I mean, when you think about it, it's very realistic if you think of it metaphorically, but it seems sort of like sort of mysterious and fantasy-like, kind of like it was a different place, like a different world maybe, but like it's sort of, the writing made me think of that.
Okay, that it could be into a mystery, a more mysterious place, or it could be in an inner place.
Mm-hmm.
Instructions for the future relative to relationship with the inner life, or a adventure
mm-hmm.
where great change takes place. Did you like that one?
Mm-hmm.
When you say, take socks, you cannot go without the hope socks bring you. I feel quite rather tender towards Lorna Crozier for saying socks are the most important thing. Those I call lists. If you'll notice, each of them are list poems. Advice from Nana, advice from our paternal grandmother before we left Cuba. Each one, the information is less important than what it reveals of the speaker, and the relationship with those listening, and the culture out of which each came. And Lorna Crozier is more mythical. Mythical. Take a box with a key. You don't know what it's good for. It might work here. Could be the beginning of fairy tale, fairy story. I'm worried about one or two of you who say that I never got advice, I never gave advice, and I don't have any advice, and I'm going to help you out. So if you want to start, this do. I'm going to give you one more, which is also by Lorna Crozier, and this is very short information. And this is called Facts About My Father, and it's also a list poem. And this is always fun to do, no matter who you want to do it about. Facts about my home, facts about me, facts about my coming to Holden, facts about my retirement, facts about my children. So that's her title. And the way she does it is just have section 1, section 2, section 3, section 4. So you pick anything or person to write about. It is a list, just like the others were. In this one, I'm only reading you the first number 1. She has about 15. He's 5'8". He has a large nose and thick gray hair. He chews his nails to the quick. End of section 1. You can do this. You can do it about yourself or any other person. Any questions? I've taken you through several. I wanted to introduce all of these at once. Would you like to see any one of these if you've heard one you want to see? And then, if you haven't been here before, the invitation is to begin writing. Write as fast as you can, without regard for order and structure and all the other things that English teachers cared about. You're going to find what memory you got. And memory usually comes connected by image, not by sequence of what happened during time, but image. You might see a red balloon, and then you might see the red skirt, and then you might see the red flowers, all of which are color, but not necessarily in the same place. So feel free to jump around. Any question? Now, what's going to happen after you write? You'll be invited to read, and you'll be thanked for reading.
These are all supposed to be lists. List type.
Can be, but you can always not obey the rules. I'm worried about her. She's obeying my rules too much. You're invited to do. I said these are four list poems, but you could say he's 5'8". He chews his nails to the quick, and then start telling a long story.
I see.
Which is Marianne. The structure is a list, but your invitation can be to write one fact and go on talking about anything. Is anyone confused or unhappy?
You're happy.
It's time to start. This is a lot of material, but please, let me remind you again, the structure of the poems are similar. The subject matter is for you to pick and go with, and it doesn't have to look like a list poem. The list was our catalyst. Write anything you like. You can write a letter home if you want to. I'll tell you in 15 minutes. We'll come back and we'll read excerpts from what we've written. That's optional. If you go outside, I'll come to both doors and call you. the next minute find your way to the end of the line or the phrase, you're not finished, I'm interrupting you. Find a place where you can make a closure and then draw a line. Under the line, if you'd answered the question, what was that like to write? For example, how did you feel writing? Or what were you thinking about while you were writing that didn't get down on the page? You reflect. I'll come back to this. Or make a list. I have more to say here. Here's your committee of three, me, myself, and I. Talking about what you've just done. So you draw a line, and also below the line would you put well done and put your name. You took a flying leap, you went back into memory, you were willing to go where the story went, I hope. And you wrote for 15 minutes. That's no small thing. And you have a first draft, which I consider holy, holy, holy. Because when you're doing writing against a time deadline, you know, if you go somewhere, oh, I don't have to write for more than 15 minutes about this, so I can keep going for that long. Or we're writing all together, or you're writing when you have no time to prepare, none whatsoever, do it. Who can blame you if it's not perfect? But it's also a time when things slip out that you may not even know that you know or may not know that you remember. These conditions are ones under which sometimes you move towards something and say, oh, I'm going to stay with this and develop it. I really want to get this down on the page. Which is why I recommend a writing group, because I find that people who write a small half page or a page in a writing group start something which they can continue. But the start is a place where they might not have come they hadn't worked together in response to a prompt. I can't prove that. I'm sure Dickens wrote all his novels without having a writing group. Shakespeare probably did too. But
then
for
you've the inklings. Then you've got the inklings that got together and discussed together, Tolkien and Lewis. And
yep. And encouraged each other's work, which is what a group would do. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Some people don't admit they work with a writing group because there's a mystique about writers have these brilliant insights and this genius coming down towards them, and they wouldn't want to suggest that anybody else invites them. Don't believe a word of it. Not
I love the concept of what you're doing here as against people writing at home and coming and sharing, which is the kind of writing groups I've never been with one exactly, but I know it happened that way, that they've written at home and they come and share because kind of let people know where they're going with what they're doing or whatever. But this is like a separate thing.
Yes.
Almost if they were working on a book or whatever, it would be a separate thing. And this is to give prompts and encourage
this
people
to write.
This
is to start something, go home, and continue.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to figure out that it was a waste of time, in my opinion, to have a writing class where you brought work and we all told you what was wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, this didn't seem to be very beneficial.
Come back next week and make it better.
But
and so we just flipped it over.
So, but each week you would start something different like this.
Yep. If you want to write, this is like doing scales. And I find that students who work for 10 or 15 weeks with me will get going week two, and they carry on with that. They keep coming back for doing the prompts, because that's like the scales. A small bit of you're going to practice. Sometimes that hatches into something quite large. I want you to now, at this point in time, have you written under the line, turn to your neighbor and tell her or him what you wrote about, but don't read a word from it. You get 30 seconds each, so you just say, I wrote about the father, I did the advice. It's just a headline, and then she gives a headline, or he does, and then you come back. Now, I'd like to try something with you for precisely half a minute, and that's pick up your text and start reading aloud all simultaneously so you can hear the shape of your text and how it sounds, what you just did. You may think this is strange, but you're immediately hearing it with your ear. You won't hear your neighbor, unless you really try. You'll hear your own words, because there's a shape that these words have come out in. And I want you to hear it right away. We're going to read together as loud and expressively as you can, knowing nobody's listening. You ready? Here we go. I take the thick start over again. What I don't want to happen is that somebody drops out, and then somebody's left reading all by. If we have more time, we read the whole thing, so you get the whole shape of your text, and I'm setting this up as an example for you to do at home. Anything else? How was it to do?
This was fun.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did. How was it to experience nobody listening?
It was interesting because you weren't talking to somebody and trying to hear past all of the rest of that. You just sort of had this little space that you were reading.
How many of you could hear yourself? You actually could hear.
Yeah.
You could hear the sound of the words. I call this writing out loud. Writing aloud, sorry. A-L-O-U-D. Writing aloud. And it's an essential practice in the teaching I do that immediately you've written something, you read it aloud. And you hear by ear the sound and the rhythm and the shape and the structure and the order. It's a different experience than when you've written it. Take my word for it. If you don't want to, don't ever do this again. But everything you've written, read aloud. No writer that I know of gets stuff out for publication without reading aloud and reading aloud and reading aloud. It is an integral part of writing. So have fun doing that. And if somebody says, who are you talking to in there? Well, you can come up with your own answer. You're sitting at your desk reading aloud. So the next thing we do is to ask who would like to read aloud. But I'm just wondering. No, let's take two or three of you who would like to read aloud. And what we do is say thank you. When you're done, we say thank you. Here, over here, please. What's your name?
Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie.
setbacks. He calls himself Dad. I call him Dad. Actually, he's a granddad, but somehow he never made the grade. Someone asked me, was it the depression? And I said, no, however it was. My dad's dad went bankrupt. A big, big no-no then. And so my dad had to leave school. Timothy's my son, and in January he'll be driving without me. And who knows when I'll be a granddad too. So roll on, Dad, be a granddad, and recognize me as Dad before it's too late.
Thank you. Reading. What's below the line?
I put writing about setbacks.
Yes. How did you feel reading it? Enjoy it?
Liked it? I felt a lot of emotion coming up.
Yeah. Because you're covering three generations in a very short period of time. Right? Mm-hmm. Your son, yourself. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of material. You can almost take this as a list of things to write about, more about the brand, more about your life, more about the bankruptcy, more mm-hmm. about the young boy.
Yeah.
You can expand this like an accordion. Okay, thank you for reading. Now, in the next one, and I forgot to say this for Charlie, thank you. Please take a quote from the person reading. Please write down one phrase while you're listening to the person. You can do it on your own paper. And we'll miss that step in Charlie, sorry. You'll see in a minute how it works. Who'd like to read next? Someone from this side.
I'd like to read. I've never read yet.
Okay. Your name, please.
Brenda. I'll be gone too soon. Don't forget my green chili recipe. Don't forget how I misspelled my grocery list or what happened when I found you hiding napkins with chewed up liver and onions you wouldn't eat. Don't forget the many hours I taught you how to drive a stick shift and when I wouldn't let you change seats with me when you stalled the car through three signal changes. Please don't forget the beautiful pink taffeta ball gown I had. I can't read it.
We'll wait. And would you like some, would you like your dog to read it? Is that okay for you? Don't forget the pink ball gown. Deep breath. To your sign, I live alone here. Would you like to continue?
Yeah. Please don't forget the beautiful pink taffeta ball gown I had handsome for your prom on the... I'm not very good at reading cursive.
I wrote so fast, I'll try again.
Sorry, Mama.
Okay.
You can't do it either.
Well, I will try to separate myself from it. Please don't forget the beautiful pink taffeta ball gown I had hand sewn for your prom, or the mauve dress you helped me pick out for your wedding. Don't forget Weta, and Cass Muffle, and Miss Chris, and Strudels, and Snowball, especially Snowball. The night we sat together caring for her as Snowball died. Don't forget the nights we laid together talking, just the two of us, exploring all the answers to questions you wanted to ask. Don't forget to love Daddy and to call him often. Don't forget that I love you. Don't let my grandchildren forget me. I know you won't let that happen because I see myself in you and the way you love your family. Don't forget how I wrapped your babies, little...
Like burritos.
Don't forget to bake sometimes. Maybe you can learn how to make a pie crust. I'm sorry I didn't teach you that. Don't forget to look for the bright side of things and keep your chin up. Remember, people pick on you because they like you. One last thing. Please visit the New England states in the fall. Breathe it in. Think of me. Savor it. It was something I don't think I'll ever get to do. Love.
Mama.
Mama.
Made
me cry.
Thank you, Marianne. And can you take a deep breath? Now, there is loaded with emotion here of a specific story, but it also stirs more than one memory of loss for others of you. And deep as the tears are, we honor them. So you are in relationship with the memory.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you one thing, your full name and your date of death.
Doris Marie DeArmond. May 22nd, 2005.
That's recent. Very recent. Thank you for reading, dear. I'm going to talk about what you've opened up to everybody. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
For all of you, if there's loss, there's four things I recommend. If you've had no loss ever in your life, no fear of loss, don't write these down. If you've lost someone, these are four things in writing you can do, very similar to what you've done already. A letter to the person from you. Dear individual. A letter from the person. And this is what you've shown us. She is writing to you. I hope you can type it up and frame it, put her picture next to it.
Yeah.
Very important piece. An essay about the person, which would sound like this. My mother was born in Iowa and she grew up in Florida, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Essay about the person, a little biography. And the last one is a dialogue with the person, where you ask a question and you get the answer. And this requires you to take a bit of a leap of faith, because you're writing the answer in the question. And I suggest you take the one that moves you or interests you most. Of those four for loss, one of them will allow you to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
In the Mayan tradition, when there's loss and sorrow, the mandate for the community, this is in Guatemala, Prechtel writing about it, is to, let's go listen. In sorrow or loss, the community says, let's go listen.
Mm-hmm.
And if it takes 5 days of listening, the community sees to it that they are there for 5 days. Have you ever heard of such a thing? How would you like that? Listen, that means the one with loss can speak or be silent, but as long as is needed. We don't do things that way, to the best of my knowledge. Let's go listen to the sorrow. Let's go listen. So the page, at least if it is in our culture, you have a place to be heard. Thank you for reading. I'd like to, a deep breath for everyone, please. I'd like to invite you, and you'll be able to do this, to read to the person next to you and be read to. And that when they're finished, all you say is thank you. Even if there are tears, read back to them and then you can discuss the content. All right? And I'd like to invite you to do all of that. Now, if you dash off to get an ice cream, no, they're not ice cream now. I won't know. If you have
Vespers would be first.
Vespers would be first, that's right. We've got time to do this. If you can do it three, you can do it two. If it's too personal and you don't want to do it, that's fine. You can say you'll listen. But I'd like you to have someone hear your words, and you hear someone's words before you leave. Or we could listen to one more person. Do you have time?
Vespers are at 7:45.
Should we do one more person? Who's? Okay, back here. What's your name?
My name is Don.
Don?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Be nice, Donnie, my mother said as she wiped her hands on her apron. I was going to a friend's birthday party. She straightened my shirt and checked that my shoes were tied and sent me out the door saying, once again, remember, be nice. Nice was important to mother and to all the people I was connected to through her, Minnesota people, Minnesota nice people. But nice was more important to her when it was being advised me, because my mother knew that for all my gifts and graces, one, niceness, did not come easily to me. I had a quick mind and a smart mouth, and I could see what was incongruous or ludicrous and immediately put words to it. Words that more often than not struck the one who to me seemed comically out of step, as though they had been slapped with a wet, stinging switch. Be nice, she said, and I tried, except that it was so easy to forget nice when the ridiculous reared up in front of me. Charlie Johnson drooling on his bib overalls, Uncle Oscar forgetting to button his pants after peeing, Mrs. Ladone dipping snot as she was spooning soup for the kids during the hot lunch program at school. It was so easy to poke fun at other people's foibles and so desperately hard to be nice, but I tried.
Thank you. what's below the line? What did you write?
Below the lines, it says, probably important to think about since I still have a problem.
tell me, Don, do you write regularly?
I'm sorry?
Do you write regularly?
Well, I preached.
You preached. That involves some writing, didn't it? I bet you didn't preach this one. There's a certain, you know, if you're in the discourse of the sermon or the biblical text, there's a certain rollingness. Did you hear it in his? The sentences kind of went on like waves, and I sometimes think that's not unrelated to hearing the scripture, which has a very lush rhythm and a very moving forward energy. It shows up, you're marked. Scripture as a child, and it shows up now. Well, you get to spend, are you retired?
Am I fine?
Retired?
Yes.
You get to do 50 more of these. You got the book done.
Make a book.
Thank you for your words. Now, I'd like to hear all of you, we can't. Now, would you read to somebody, and if you have to go meet somebody or want to sit in the front pew. Sorry, do you have words for him?
Yeah.
Is that what you're putting? Yeah, words for Don.
In Dutch, for
thank you for
the ridiculous word. Minnesota nice.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what you were talking about, Minnesota nice. Anyone else? Words for him?
Had trouble with nice.
Had trouble with nice.
Nice,
still has
nice was important to her.
And be nice.
Just about the time I thought, I hope you give some examples of ludicrous or ridiculous example
yes,
stars.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fly that's not done up. Just the right timing there, okay? The detail, and for all of you, the detail illustrates what's ludicrous, what's nice. See if you feel inclined to read to your neighbor. This is not an order, but if you could read before you go, I'd be happy.
Ready to read.
This is the end of our class. I was delighted to see you, all of you. It's a right time of day somehow, isn't it? A lot of times of day I've taught, 6:30 feels good. Which, you know, usually they say, oh, right, first thing in the morning, like 6:30 in the morning. This is a good time.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you felt okay about this time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, after dinner, a small chunk. I appreciate your coming. If you've taken a leap of faith, I hope you'll let somebody hear it before the end of the day. I often teach a workshop near Christmas called The Gift of Story, which is how to take your text and prepare it as a gift. You can save yourself a lot of shopping. So that this one about the mother could go to the children or the grandchildren or the friends or the relatives of this grandmother. You see, it's about you, but it's also about her. This one you've written about your, that goes to all grandchildren when you're ready. But you have gifts of knowledge of people and places and traditions that the younger ones don't have. The farmhouse you may have gone to might be gone now, and your descendants don't know about it. You write it, it's a gift. Okay, I have enough orders for you. Read if you can. I'm delighted to have been here. There are people reading tomorrow night at Vespers who have written in the classes in the last couple weeks. I was going to say come to Vespers, but you've got to, so I wouldn't.
Right.
Okay, read to your neighbor if you like.
What time is your class?
Okay.